So, dear all, thank you very much for having me. I will talk about Tibetan ritual, which could be easily labeled as magic, from a spellbook called Baribeubu, ascribed to famous translator Rinchen Thak, aka Bari Lhotshala, who lived in 11th and at the beginning of 12th century AD. Firstly, I will read my translation of the worst ritual, because I believe that the best is to start with the point of entry, as microhistorians say, and subsequently I will add some notes. So let me read the ritual. Sadhana of the three Pishachi sisters. In the language of India, Pishachi Yakshini Dakini Kalpota Kundali Sadhana, in Tibetan so-called practice which appeared from the realization of a circle of all Yakshini and Dakini. I pay homage to Bodhisattva Vajrapani. After that, I pay homage to flesh-eating Dakini. This is the method called Sadhana from the circle of Yakshini. When at solitary place, in forest and so on offering, the being who is faith-having shall mandala and ritual substance arranging. On the mat, which of cloth and bark is made, write rupa in the center, which means shape. Arrange necessary substances for thee, the yogi, as he like can sit, shall firstly meditate on deity, and in front of it, from the center of all, there are Pichachi sisters three. Do special rituals and meditate. Their bodies are blue, green, and red. Two arms, young face, and one head. Full body and breasts are swelling. Handsome body and peaceful manners having. Hair like bronze vessel and holding a jewel in a stretched hand. Dwelling beautifully on the lotus here, three flesh-eating Dakini appear. Seeing this, recite mantras in front of them, and offer one after another food, clothes, and gem. I will not read the three mantras now. Accomplish mantras over the food 21 times to be ready, then offer food in the manner of a lady. After seeing a good omen, proceed in ritual, use life stone as vital support for them all. If you don't see the good omen by the torma at solitary place, you shall meditate and delightfully pray. Decorate torma by beer, food, and ornaments of all kind. Change blessings and mantras into decorations in your mind. Continuously proceed in ritual. Eat the food and best parts and remains all. Display chang and food and praise by song. If you leave it in front of torma, you will get whatever you long. Do not forget the promise. Bend in front of it and do like this. Cast away all doubts like this truly. You shall abandon them surely. If mantras are recited properly, in the mind hope like a jewel will shine and accomplished will be all wishes of mine. This is the end of the teaching arisen from the realization of the awareness of flesh-eating demoness by teacher Nagarjuna from mouth of Lama of Vajrasana translated by Bari Lhotshala. So this was the ritual. Now let me add a few remarks. Firstly, who are the three Pishachi sisters? In Tibetan, Yuguma Punsum or Yugu Chesum. They are female deities, three spirit sisters depicted in green, blue and red colors. In Vajrayana Buddhism, as Jeff Watt had remarked, they serve as wealth deities. Secondly, a note on Tibetan history. The ritual containing grimoire claims to be from the so-called later spread of the teachings in Tibetan Tempa Chidar. In Tibetan sources, it is from the late 10th century without clearly marked end, let's say in 12th or 13th century. Tibetan and Western historians agree that it was a period of enormous intellectual ferment. Apart from that, it was a period after the fall of Tibetan Empire, which means politically decentralized, with many local hegemons who tried to mimic Tibetan emperors by supporting Buddhism. Crucial figures in this process were translators in Tibetan Lhotshala. As Davidson said, quote, translators of this period frequently acted in the de facto and sometimes de jure positions of feudal lords and were given their rights of dominion not necessarily by birth or their position in traditional social hierarchy, but by their consecration as the new lords of Dharma, end quote. Subsequently, the whole process led to establishing of schools of Tibetan Buddhism and shift of power from clan aristocracy towards monastic authorities. So thirdly, some suggestions on material wealth of translators and purposes of rituals. In many biographies in Tibetan Namtar, like that of Ralo Tsava, published by Kuevas in 2015, there are long lists of precious gifts obtained by translators and teachers of Buddhism. As Terrell Wiley remarked for the case of translator Marpa, it was not unusual to literally mention not only huge and expensive gifts, like 100 ounces of gold, silver, turquoises, fine horses, and so on, but also small gifts like a single pitcher, dog, or butter churn. At any case, it seems that accounts on religious luminaries were interested in such like lists suggesting wealth played an important role even in translation of the teachings. The goal of mentioned ritual is to obtain material wealth. It can be contextualized by declared purposes of subsequent rituals from the same cycle or collection which gives information like, quote, when Bari Lotsava was staying in India, he was very poor and Lama of Vajrasana gave him this advice, end quote. Or, quote, an advice how not to be afflicted to food and drink, end quote. Or, quote, Lama Vajrasana bestowed this advice how to assemble food and wealth and a livelihood to Bari Lotsava when he was leaving for Tibet, end quote. Or, and this will be the final one, quote, this Dharma of Three Sisters Yugu is a practice given by Lama Vajrasana to Bari Lotsava when he was traveling to Tibet and there was a danger of lack of provisions on the way, end quote. So we have contradictory sources telling, on one hand, translators might have been extremely rich, but on the other, grateful for a single dog and performing rituals to struggle with poverty. Maybe, as Fanchaik remarks, the, quote, reliance on lay sponsorship placed monks directly in the sights of lay people looking for solutions to their problems, end quote. So fourthly, this ritual is not only in Bari Beobum and later Sakya Termas, but also in Tendur, which is a commentary part of Tibetan Buddhist canon, especially in Pedurma Tendur, Golden Tendur, Nartang Tendur, and Peking Tendur. Thus, I believe it is possible to accept the hypothesis that the ritual is not simply an obscure later invention, casually ascribed to famous teacher, but maybe an older tradition. In conclusion, my hypothesis based on such rituals is that it is possible to assume that religious authorities like Bari Lotsava were on one hand striving or fighting for status and power, which they or maybe their successors later achieved, but their position or status might have been significantly lower and far more insecure than later Buddhist historians or historians of Buddhism want us to believe. Thus, they might have been motivated to make living as providers of supernatural powers, as Fanchaik describes it, and used these powers also for direct improvement of their own wealth. In Malinowski's words, quote, magic puts order and sequence into the various activities, and that it and its associated ceremonial are instrumental in securing the cooperation of the community. It inspires with a great confidence in the efficiency of work, a mental state essential in any enterprise of complicated and difficult character, end quote. Well, thank you for your kind attention, and I will look forward to your questions and remarks.